sorry. I knocked a bunch. You were really out. Kent sent me. Dakota Fanning and her people, they need this room. She loves it here.
So does that mean I have to leave the hotel?
Ken found you a room.
I'll take it. Yeah, I want to hang out with Rachel a little more.
Are those sad tissues or happy tissues?
Maybe you should just give me a minute.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on, don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio. On RadioSt.Pete.com, good evening, good day, whatever time of day you may be tuning in. Welcome to the program. My name's Will Koontz. Very happy to be with you again here. So we have a special edition of the Homemade Broadcast this week. It's special because it's not really that special. It's what happened was is that I recorded my episode with Jonas Prezendu, comedian, nice, all-around nice guy, and it was a great episode. I recorded my intro like I usually do before the guest gets here, so they don't have to hear me talk about whatever I'm talking about that week, so they don't have to sit here awkwardly and watch. And I had my device paused for, 45 minutes or so until my guest got here. Everything seemed to be working fine. Hit the resume button on the recorder. Everything seemed to be going as normal. And then after we wrapped up, 50 minutes later, I hit stop and went to go upload my things like I normally do. And the interview was gone. Just had the intro. And on top of that, Jonas got towed because he parked on the side of the building. Got towed. We didn't even know that the audio didn't record at the time. But So I had to spot him. The money to get is $140 to get your car out of the impound. That is absurd. I told other people that today, and they were like, oh, I'm surprised it wasn't more. I thought it was like $80, and even then, because I think I got towed years ago, and it was like $75, and I was like, what? $140. Things have changed in a few years, so I had to spot him. Luckily, I had literally, that's all the cash that I had on me. I've been setting aside, that was like my life savings right there, $140. And I've been setting it aside for a few months, $20 here, $10 there, just so I have something that's not in the bank, just in case, you know? And so luckily, I had exactly that amount, got his car out, and after I dropped him off to get his car, I came home, uploaded it, and then found that none of it worked. So it was all for naught. It was just a bad day all around for everybody. So what we're going to do this week is I was looking around my files that I have saved. And many, many moons ago, this was probably even last year almost, comedian Nina Ramdak came by to do James Bailey's podcast, heard exclusively on HMBRadio.com. So I sat down with her, and we chatted for a little bit, and I was wondering why I didn't use the audio. I was kind of skimming through it a little bit, because I was drunk for it, and I don't remember it being good, but then I was listening to it. I was like, this is actually pretty funny. So what we're going to do this week is play that audio from Nina Ramdat, probably 6 months to a year ago. So special edition. I think maybe I was saving it for Christmas time or something when I wouldn't be able to do a podcast. So without further ado, Here is Tampa Bay comedian Nina Ramdat joining us on the Homemade Broadcast this week, heard on RadioSt.Pete.com. If I can get the thing to work. Oh, you got to turn your volume up, Dumbo. That makes sense. Anywho, since I don't edit, Nina Ramdat, Tampa Bay comedian, heard on the Homemade Broadcast right here.
Wow, so I'm glad we could finally make it happen. We just did a marathon of James Bailey's, my mom's favorite podcast. Was that 2 hours?
Yeah, I think over even.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty over. Good. That's pretty good. So check her out on there. I've been drinking beers the whole time, so this should be interesting. I was telling James, remember, you can't curse on this one. Meanwhile, I have a feeling that I'm going to be the one who slips this time. We'll see.
We'll see.
I didn't intend to start drinking, but it just seemed like a good idea. Once the topic started coming up, I was like, oh boy, I'm going to need to have a drink for this one.
You cracked one open about like halfway through his,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. And I got about 4 down in that hour. So yep. It should be good. So Nina is a Tampa Bay comedian in the area. Never comes to Sly Bar, but it's cool.
Improv practice that night, too.
Is it every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday. And we start around, like, 10. At Sacred Grounds Coffee House, we start around, like, 10, and then we end at midnight, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is a marathon of practice.
It is. It absolutely is.
Isn't that kind of going against what improv is? Because isn't it supposed to be, you know, spontaneous off the top of the dome? Well, do you even need to practice?
We need to practice because you need to figure out what makes a game tick. So it's not the same suggestions all the time.
So you're not running lines. No. You're actually like thinking of things like games you can play.
Yeah, thinking of different games that we can play, getting into the idea of like what makes a game good. Like if you're faster paced, does that make it funnier? Or like what feels right? The more we do them, the more comfortable we are doing them so that we can take other suggestions and actually find the funny in those suggestions within that structure of the game. So, but yeah, we have to get used to it. And also it helps with our stage presence too. The more we practice.
So are you more into the improv or doing stand-up?
I actually got into my improv group because of my first open mic.
Really?
So, yeah.
You did that well? They were like, hop on a board.
Yeah. Actually, it was daytime when he was still doing his open mics and his poetry slams.
Daytime is a person?
Yes.
Okay.
Daytime is a person. He is actually in my improv group as well. He's a poet, a local poet. And so he was doing this show where you would come in and he would have a couple of, like, open micers go up. And then he would do poetry slams. And it was, like, a contest. And I did my first open mic was 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 10 minutes. And Daniel Motown, who is the founder of Got Jokes, happened to actually be guest hosting. And he saw my set. And then I talked to him afterwards. And he said I should come out and play games with them, try out for the group, and I did, and that's how it started. And then I didn't do stand-up comedy again for a really long time, like months.
10 minutes, did you plan for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So you went in, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
Usually it's like, I got up there, told a joke, bombed, left immediately, didn't come back to it for 6 months, and then I did 3 minutes, and then I bombed again, and then took off a couple months, and then went back and did 5.
Mm-hmm.
You get more confident, third time's the charm. But you were like, no, I got 10 minutes worth of material. I have things to say.
Yeah. He was like, I asked my friend, I was like, how much time do I have? I didn't know that wasn't normal. I didn't know. I was like, oh, this is what we're supposed to do. Okay. He said I had 10 minutes. I have to fill 10 minutes. How do I fill 10 minutes well? And then I went in with something that I had prepared, and I like was researching things, you know, reading up on.
That was your first stand-up?
That was my first open mic.
Where was that at?
A little space above the Spaghetti Warehouse.
The Creative Loafing space?
Uh-huh. Creative Loafing
They did
space.
An open mic there?
It wasn't like a comedy open mic. You could do other things, too. There was singing, and there was all kinds of stuff. And then he would do the poetry slam right after.
Did you do well your first time?
Yeah. I actually think I have it on video.
Really?
Yeah, one of my friends videoed it, and it just popped up on my... in my memories, on my timeline. So it's there somewhere.
Wow. So you
in
did
the ether.
10 minutes video record. I'd love to see it because yeah. I've seen you a couple times. You've always been hilarious.
But the first time doing 10 minutes seems remarkable to me, just because, like I said, there's so much panic that goes into your first time.
Oh,
were you afraid?
So panicked. I had at least two glasses of Jack before I went up there. I was sitting. My sister drove so that I could sit there and go over my notes and what I had written. So I was freaking out. I had like my hype song playing the entire ride there.
Which was?
I'm the Man.
Yeah. Who's that by?
Aloe Black.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. Yeah. I gotta listen to that song. It sounds like a great hype song.
It's not here.
Did you write, like when you wrote down your 10 minutes, did you verbatim write it down?
Yeah, I did. I wrote it down. Because I was green. I thought that's what I was supposed to do, and I did it. That's actually kind of, I still do that sometimes. Like when I'm freaking out about something, I'll write it all out. And but it was good.
Yeah.
It was funny.
So you're 30 years old?
Yeah, 30.
And then when was your first time doing stand-up?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, so you're 28. Your synapses in your brain are completely formed at that point. I see a lot of the younger folks that do it now, and with social media, I'm like, I wonder if they're going to hate themselves later when they hear recordings of themselves, these 18-year-olds.
So I've always hated the sound of my voice.
I don't think anybody likes the sound of their voice, though.
That's
one of those things that I don't think anybody likes. I can't listen to these because I hate the sound of my voice.
Yeah.
But, so you're doing, are you still doing stand-up now, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, just occasionally?
Just occasionally. Now, I definitely need to get more focused. But, like, with some of the stuff that I've been going through, I haven't been.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things where, yeah, no, I'm still doing it. I'm still doing improv. And my goal this year is to actually do it a lot more than I did last year. And last year, I did so much more than I did the year before. So, as long as I keep on that trend and really figure out, like, I've always been honest, so it's not really a matter of finding my own voice because I know, like, the things that I talk about they're me. I don't do political things. I do honest things from my life, things that I've experienced. But just figuring out, like, getting my sets together and fine-tuning them, getting a solid 10, solid 15, solid 30 that I know I want to build on, you know?
Yeah. What was kind of the motivator for you to kind of, I think I want to do this, because usually people think about it for a long time and then they finally get into it. So what was the thing that pushed you to finally get up there?
When I graduated high school, I actually went to film school. I did acting for film. Comedic acting was always something I was a little bit better at.
Where'd you go to school?
New York Film Academy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you graduate from there?
I did. Because at the time, this is, again, going to tell you how long ago it was, they weren't a 4-year accredited.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So the longest program they had was the 1 year. So I did that. And then life happened. I moved to New Jersey. I was actually enrolled in college as a psych major. And then ended up not finishing that. Started dating.
Never mind. Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, started dating this guy.
Why would you go to New Jersey?
Yeah. Well, my dad was stationed there.
Oh, but still.
My dad was stationed there.
Wait, you went there with your dad?
Yeah.
Oh, like, I mean, how old were you?
19.
Oh, 20. Nah. I would have. Sorry, Dad. I'll see you when you come back. Nah, it's fucking Jersey, son. Nah.
And then, after that, I started dating this guy. I ended up moving in with him. Wasted almost 4 years of my life in that situation.
It's not a waste. You can't consider those a waste, because how would you know? You have to go through these experiences to know what you want out of life. So you have to
I know what I don't want.
Exactly.
I learned that. Well, that's I learned what I do not want.
Addition by subtraction.
You learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah, no. So we moved in together. 3 months after we moved in together, he started cheating on me. Cheated on me for 7 months.
How long were you with him?
Almost 4 years.
4 years, and then you moved in, and then he started cheating?
No, that's including the time we lived together. That's including that 7 months.
So how long were you with him when you knew he was, like, did you stay with him when you found out he was cheating on you?
No.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
You dipped out of me?
Absolutely not. he broke up with me, and that night, I went to my friend's house. I was bawling because I didn't know. As far as I knew, like, within that 7 months that he was cheating on me, I definitely thought something was up. I confronted him a bunch of times. I was like, this doesn't make sense. What do you mean? Like, and he would basically make me feel like I was crazy. He was like, no, why would I do that to you? I promise. Like, I'm not doing anything wrong. Meanwhile, he was going away for long weekends with
what was
this
his,
chick.
What was he didn't
have
reasoning?
A, he didn't have a job, right, where you'd have to travel for work or anything like that?
No, he didn't
have
a job where he would have to travel for work. He would be like, oh, my friend Brian's having a bachelor party, and I'm going with, we're all going to Atlantic City. We're going to spend the weekend up there. And I'm like, okay. And then, like, every other weekend, he was like, oh, it's my friend Eric's birthday. I was like, how many friends named Eric do you have? Why haven't I met any of them? Like, wasn't it his birthday? And then when I started calling him out on stuff, he would be like, no, like, you're being crazy. And I was like, no, I don't think I am.
Yeah.
But you've never given me a reason not to trust you before. So if you're telling me the truth, that it's the truth, I'll take your word for it because
so how did
how
you
I feel people should be treated.
Sure.
he broke up with me. I left that night. I went to my friend's house. The next day, I went back to our apartment, and I wrote him a letter. That was right in the time period where my parents were going through some stuff. And I actually said to him in the letter, I was like, listen, any problem that we have is nowhere near as bad as this. So there's no reason we can't get through it. I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. And then I left that for him. I went to work. I came back, and he had read it, and he was crying, and then he told me that he was, had cheated on me, and then she showed up 20 minutes later.
Oh, the girl that...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What, to, like, come pick him up?
No, because apparently when I left, he told her that since I left the house, he's felt empty. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you shouldn't feel empty. You have me. So then she showed up. And then she said, she also said she was pregnant. Yeah.
Did she turn out to be pregnant?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
It was also the second time in 7 months that she had told him that she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Falsely.
So did he stay with her afterwards?
They're married.
They're married?
Yeah, they're married. He went from having no kids.
What?
The stupidest man I've ever met in my life.
That type of crazy, like we said on my podcast mm-hmm. earlier, that type of crazy don't go away.
No, well, and here's the thing, and I said, and we were always so careful as far as like protection and stuff like that because we weren't ready to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we always use protection.
How old were you at this point?
I was, six.
You were 6 years
no.
old?
No, I'm doing math. I was probably like 23, 24.
Yeah, I don't think people should be in relationships at 24. I don't think you should. I think you should wait till you're 30.
Well, he was older.
Okay, committed.
He was older. And then, so it was one of those things where we had always been so careful about it that it just, it made me so mad because I was like, wait a minute. Why would she think she's pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Why would that even be a possibility? Were you not using protection with her?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
And well, apparently not with you either?
No, we were. That's what I was like. I was like, we've been together for almost 4 years, and we always do.
Well, things happen.
Oh, wow.
And you, yeah.
It wasn't even like on the pill?
He said she was on the shot.
No, you. Like, you weren't, like, on the pill. Like, after 4 years, and keep in mind that my relationships are much, much, much laughably shorter. But even at a certain point, like, she's on the pill, condoms come off, time goes down, but, you know, condoms come off.
I wasn't, because we had discussed it, and we were fine doing that. And that was my thing. Ooh. I was like, you were so...
Okay, like, with it.
Okay with it. Yeah, it wasn't like, he was the one who was always like, yeah, no, we need to make sure we do this. Because he was always like that. And he was like, well, she's on the shot. And I was like, okay, but... We've been together for over 3 years, and I think there was one day that, or like 1 month where my period was 2 days late because I was like a Nazi about keeping track of it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do this just to be sure, even though I don't really think that it is an issue. Mm-hmm. I was like, and in 7 months, she's already told you she thinks that she's pregnant twice.
Sounds like she might have been a little off kilt.
Yeah.
Though,
that doesn't.
To say it nicely.
No. When I moved down here, I even told him, I said, I said, I know we're not together anymore. You're going to get her pregnant. Please don't. And then she got pregnant, and then they got married, and he went from having no kids to having 5 kids.
Wow. Well, I guess, you know, in the end, good for him. He found his happiness, I guess.
And no, two so of them belong to his mom's boyfriend.
There you go. There you go.
Wait, was that... back that up now?
Yeah.
So, wait.
Yeah.
His mother's boyfriend had sex with his girlfriend.
Was married to.
Was, wait, what?
Yeah. It was his mom's boyfriend's ex-wife that he cheated on me with. Oh, I forgot that part.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That is, how does, wait, how does that even, it's his mom's boyfriend's ex-wife?
Uh-huh.
His mom's, I'm trying to figure this out too. His mom's boyfriend.
Was married before.
Right.
To a girl who was 10 years younger than him.
How did they even come in contact with each other?
He apparently also knew her from high school or knew her brother or cousin or someone. Mm-hmm. One of her friends or something.
Wait, so, okay, so his mom's boyfriend must have been much younger than his mom. Because even with the girl being 10 years younger than him, that's still...
Yeah, no, his mom's boyfriend was younger and then his wife was younger.
So let's try to get some focus here a little bit. Because I'm getting a little everything confused. Off,
yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you've been in the same room with me. That generally happens. Don't worry, Nina.
Comedian Nina Ramdet is joining me on the Homemade Broadcast. So you had this terrible relationship. That spurred the move down here, just to kind of get away. That's pretty far away, New Jersey down to Florida.
Yep.
So you started comedy in Florida, though?
Yes. I was working 3 jobs when I was in New Jersey, and then I took like a year off of everything when I moved down here. And then just kind of refocused, and I started working like just little odd jobs, you know, where I work now, and then I had a couple of just other things that I was doing just to pay bills. And then I was like, what do I really want to do? So I was like, you know, I love comedy. I love writing. Why not try it?
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I really liked it. It's always something I've always watched comedy. I've always been a fan of it. But acting as well is something that I've always done too. So that's why improv kind of feeds into that a little bit. Because you get to play with that, play with scene work and stuff like that too.
Did you try to make it in New York as an actress after you graduated school?
No, I was too young, man. I wasn't focused. I wasn't focused enough the way I should have been. And it was one of those things where looking back now, like I'm like, had I gone as hard as I should have, I probably would have done some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think I learned lessons that I needed to learn in order to be able to handle that kind of situation. At 19, I hadn't been, like, I wasn't raised in the States. From the ages of 13 till I graduated, I was in Norway. So culture shock was so crazy for me when I came back.
Wait, the what?
How did you get to Norway?
Culture shock.
No. What? I understand. The culture shock. That's not the most shocking statement that you just made.
Yeah.
Norway?
Yeah. How did you end up in Norway?
My dad's with the military. My dad was with NATO.
Mm-hmm. All right, because that makes sense. Because were you born in America?
I was born in Arizona.
Okay. That's almost America, I guess we'll call it that.
Close enough. No, I was born in Arizona.
Northern Mexico.
Yes,
even
basically.
Even though they hate Mexicans, it's weird.
I know.
Weird thing, man.
That's why I don't really feel emotionally attached to any one place, you know? I moved from the Azores when I was one, or from Arizona when I was one, we moved to the Azores. Then we moved to New Jersey. Then Northern Florida.
Ew.
Then Norway. And then back to Jersey.
Ew.
Yeah.
What was Norway like? What was your experience in Norway?
Norway was great. Norway was awesome. So open. It was so safe there. That's the one big thing that I've noticed here. Is like I would be afraid to let my nieces do certain things here that my parents had no problem letting me do there. Mm-hmm. Just because it was different. The mindset was different.
Did you live on a base or was your father with the military and private sector more?
My dad was with
where you lived?
The Air Force branch of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And then we lived out on the economy though, because they're based and actually have housing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we had just a normal house in a little town.
So
take
you
take a bus and the train, walk everywhere.
Eventually made it to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Did your first stand-up, joined an improv group right after, and got the book. That was it for you.
That was it for me.
I feel like there's a lot going on with you that I wish, because you make stunning admissions all of a sudden out of the blue. If you haven't checked out my mom's favorite podcast with James Bailey with the episode with Nina, check it out because she delivers some pretty shocking stuff. Like her mother was shot in the head, survived after hours of being on the floor.
And then killed a bear with her bare hands like the Revenant. Which, by the way, is a good movie.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. It's really good. Like, there's really not much to spoil. He fights a bear and then wins. And, like, that's, like, everybody knows that part. But it's a really... He doesn't win. Like, he doesn't kill. Anyway, watch the movie. It's really good.
Yeah.
We will. We will. So, Nina, I'm going to... I have this other podcast that I listen to where they ask questions.
Okay.
And I think they stole it from another podcast, so I don't feel so bad stealing okay. these things. So my first question for you is, what are you out of 10? What would you give yourself?
What would I give myself out of 10?
Yeah. You know the scale, right?
Okay. Like a 6?
A 6? That's it?
Come on.
Personality, I think, would bump me up to like 7 or 8.
Well, there you go.
That's actually what's holding you back.
So a 7.5.
Shut your whore mouth, Bailey.
Bailey, what are you out of 10?
That's horrible, man. I don't know. Like, I think overall together, I'd have to go 7.5. 8.
We're not talking about young.
An 8?
Young 7.5. Bailey.
No.
Young, you want to make out with yourself,
I could
Bailey.
I could definitely. Yeah, you'll have to listen. You'll have to listen to my mom's favorite podcast to hear me love me, young
Yo.
Me. I could lose weight and my hair is a hot mess. I'm not horrible in the face if I shave. I have a steady job, my own car. I'm not. Gonna bowl right over that. I have my own place, a steady job. I'm a good father. I don't beat or cheat. Yeah, I'm a catch.
I think most people are probably about, if you were to average it out, probably about a 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? I think that's fair. So if you put yourself.
I come with my own boobies, so you know.
So my friend Mikey has this idea about someone's sexual market value, right? So we were talking about this the other day, and he was like, I'm sorry to tell you, once you hit 30, drastically
he's right.
decreases.
Well, for women,
said, that's what he said. He said, especially if you're a woman. He goes, but you don't have kids, and also your personality bumps you up.
That's true, too.
I refuse to ask him what number he thinks I am because I don't want my feelings hurt.
No.
And then I don't also, I also don't want to get too cocky, so I don't want to know. I'm like, you just think what you think.
I'll put my sexual index market or market index or whatever you just said, that I'll put that at a bit towards the lower end.
It's called an SMV. It is sexual market value.
So yeah, I'll put my SMV a little bit lower. But the overall score I give, because overall, like I said, I got a steady job. I don't beat or cheat. I got my own place.
Life's cruel because women definitely do go downhill after 30. Men usually get better looking.
Silver foxes, man.
Yeah. I think men hit their peak. Well, it depends. I mean, there's obviously good looking younger guys. And, of course, there's good looking older women, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say on a whole... Men definitely slide up the older they get. I'm still waiting to get in my prime. I'm waiting for like 42.
I'm really hoping that this whole dad bod craze kind of kicks up a notch because people talk about it, but I don't see the positive results yet.
Yeah, I think that's dead already.
Man.
I think.
I missed, it was like a month and a half, man. I missed my shot.
Oh, please. Are you kidding? Everybody saw Ryan Reynolds just now in Deadpool. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I've been covered in cancer.
We're not going to get into Deadpool here.
I know you don't want
to.
I know, Bailey.
It was so good. I want to talk about it for hours.
Nina Ramdat is a comedian in the Tampa Bay area. She's joining me on the Homemade broadcast on Radio St. Pete today. Question 2, Nina.
Yes.
What is the worst song in the world?
The song that never ends.
Which is?
Hmm?
Oh, it's just a song
from Lamb Chop.
Never end.
I don't know what that is.
It goes on and on, my friends.
Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was.
Yeah, I hate it. You're right.
Yeah, it's the worst song in the world.
Just because it's the song. Yeah, and it just goes on.
So this is a children's show. This is a children's show.
Lamb Chop.
Yeah.
What's her? Sally? Shelly? Something?
I don't know.
Shel Silverstein.
No.
No. That's not it. I love Shel Silverstein.
By the way, I am not Nina Ramdad's alternate ego. I'm James Bailey.
Yeah, I was going to give you the intro at the beginning.
My mom's favorite podcast. Well, I had things to do, my medicinal purposes.
Well, I got to actually. So this is the. Never mind. I was going to spoil the radio aspect of it, but we're pre-recording this interview. This isn't the normal way I do it where I record the intro. This is going to be pre-recorded, then I play it later. And then I was in turn going to mention that James Bailey was also going to be joining me
on
this edition. But that's okay. See, it doesn't matter.
My bad. I ruined the magic on my podcast a while ago by telling people we did that. So that's my fault. I started the spoilers.
It's fine, man. Don't worry about it. I'm happy to have you.
So anyway, Deadpool was amazing.
Yes, we know. What's the most stoned in your life that you've ever been?
I have tried mushrooms recently.
Recently?
That's
how recent?
Not stoned.
Listen, I don't really smoke weed. But
as a narcotics connoisseur, that
so
is not stoned
can mean just any drug. It could be, you know, whatever. I don't think
Bailey?
It necessarily is.
Don't judge
tied
me.
To marijuana.
I'm a purist, okay.
So tell me
anyway.
The story about your mushroom experience.
So I did them. I ate them. I'm pretty sure I also ate dirt.
Yeah, you did.
Did you go pick them yourself?
No.
Or did you got them from a person?
I got them from a person. And my friend and I just melted. That's the only way I can describe that. I learned that I should never look in the mirror when
no,
I do that.
Yeah,
oh, no, no,
I had to pee. And I was like, what's happening? I did it briefly, and it just made me uncomfortable, so I looked away, and apparently that is a good thing
that I did.
And then, it was cool. We watched,
did you
like,
go to another movie. Dimension, or?
No. Is that a thing that can happen?
Yes.
I hear that can happen, yeah.
Yes.
Did you say you watched scary movies?
We watched
Why would
Nightmare
you do
on
that
Elm
to yourself?
Street.
That sounds terrible.
Wait, the first one?
No, like the new one, the new...
The newest?
You didn't spaz out, freak out?
No.
No?
No.
You must have just had like a really good buzz on. The first time I ever did mushrooms, I was slipped them.
You were slipped them?
Yeah. I went and had dinner
uh-huh.
with my girlfriend at the time's parents. It was probably, or actually it was their aunt and uncle, but she was basically their parents. And we went to dinner and we came back and she gave me this piece of chocolate bar. And she said, this has weed in it. And I was like, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I ate it. And then right after, as I got done swallowing, she goes, it's mushrooms.
And you were like, what?
I was pissed.
Hold on. But that sounds way more delicious than the dirt that I ate.
Oh, it was. It was pretty good. Yeah.
Like,
I used to do them in orange juice, throw shrooms and OJ in a blender. And it's, the orange juice helps. The vitamin C helps boost your visuals.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with acid,
that
too.
That was the coolest thing, was the colors.
Yeah.
Shrooms are so visual. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the ones that I've left this planet on shrooms.
And that was the first time we did it, we watched The Nightmare on Elm Street. And then the next time we did it, we watched Repo Man the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, the Jude Law movie?
No.
Oh.
So I don't know who, I don't remember who was in it.
Forrest Whitaker?
No.
Oh,
but it was really good.
So I was.
You got slipped. Yeah.
Yeah, I got roofied with mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
and I was pissed. And then once it started taking effect, it was the most hilarious time I've ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I thank Connie and Steve for slipping me mushrooms because we didn't like trip balls or anything, but there was definitely some good times that we had. I've never laughed so hard in my entire life. It was game changing.
Oh, well, he laughed at me so much because at one point I was sitting there and I was like, hey, Don't freak out.
That's always a good start.
I don't have a torso. And he was like, what did you just say to me? I was like, I don't have one.
You just got to trust me,
it's
man.
It's not here.
It just goes straight legs to butt to neck.
My arm is really far away from me, too. I don't know who's going to go get it.
But you came back, you made it through okay.
Yeah, good.
And you did it again, so it must have been pretty good.
Yeah. The second time, I thought my heart was going to stop.
Mm.
I was like,
not
my
as,
heart is
not as
I
fun
can't
the
breathe.
Second time.
It was still just as fun until I was trying to go to sleep.
Mm.
And then I was like, but I'm not breathing.
Yeah, you kind of have to just stay awake and like, power through.
You're making me want to get mushrooms now for Holy Land on Wednesday. I mean, I don't think that's a good idea at all to go to Holy Land, but I want to do mushrooms again. I want to do them in the... Did you ever go camping and do them?
I don't think I would ever do them outside of a house.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. No,
I think that's where you got to
really?
Do them.
No, it's amazing. You commune with... Have you ever heard... All right, I just heard about this from Joe Rogan's podcast, and I'll try to make it quick. Ayahuasca ceremony. It's like this root, it's like Peru, and you drink this liquid and you kind of, it's similar to mushrooms except much more intense, but basically you go out in nature, and because these things come from nature, you really convene with nature. Like you, I mean, with the one that he was doing, the ayahuasca, I think you say it is
ayahuasca.
Yes, I think that might be it.
Yeah,
but you like, you talk and you commune with Mother Gaia.
Well, here's the thing. I would have to really only be around people that I trusted.
I'm out.
Yeah. You are absolutely out.
Yeah. And
I don't even trust me.
That's definitely key. Yeah. You have to be very comfortable around the people that you're doing it with.
That's with any psychedelic or any, like, weed's
really
a little different.
Anything that you do in life should be with people that you like.
I'm saying you can do weed and alcohol with people that you don't know that well, but, like, when you trip, when you take ecstasy, mushrooms, when you have anything that's that mind-altering, you
need... I'm not doing any of that.
I don't anymore. I'm too old for that now. I'm scared. Except for the mushrooms. I really want to do that. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. Nina, who is the coolest person in the world?
In the world?
Mm-hmm.
Say me.
No, I'm not going to say you.
Say Deadpool.
Has to be a real person.
Dude, Ryan Reynolds is pretty cool right now. Because when he left... Okay, this is why I loved it. Because he was like... They asked him if he took anything from the set. And he said, yeah, I took the unicorn with the assless chaps that Deadpool carries around. And I kept the suit.
They let him keep the suit?
He walked out. They had no choice but to let him keep the suit.
I wonder if, I'm sure there's more than one probably in the costume department.
Oh, yeah, there's probably at least 20.
Yeah,
but I would imagine. But he was basically I waited however many years to make this movie. I'm keeping the suit. Oh, almost. Shoot, it was me. I did it.
You did good.
You made it longer than I did.
Ryan Reynolds does seem like a really cool guy. Yeah. I will give that to him. He's handsome as heck.
A cool couple.
Who's the couple?
Blake Lively.
Who's that?
She was from Gossip Girl. She's been in a lot of things. Gossip Girl?
Where's my
phone? I don't know what Gossip Girl is.
Here.
It's a horrible show. You never would have watched it. I can't say it's horrible. It's a show that we wouldn't watch.
She was from Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Oh, that's one of my favorite
films. The blonde one. You look like the type. Because, you know what my favorite film is, though.
Sisterhood of Traveling Pants. It really is. No, it's really not. That's, God, I would hope. I've never seen it.
You'll recognize her when I show you her face.
I think I might. Does she have, a mole on her face or something?
Yeah. No. Yes.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, they're married. They just had a baby.
I think Aziz Ansari did a bit about her where he tried to, take her out. They got exchange numbers, and he was like, hey, we should go out sometime. And she was like, yeah, okay, cool. And then he texted her a whole bunch and made it weird. And she never responded back.
I'm sure he did make it weird. He reminds me of my dad.
Who does?
Aziz
Ansari.
He physically looks like my dad. Not the way that he acts is like my dad. But his face is like
if
my
your dad
dad's
acted,
face.
If your dad acted like Aziz Ansari, I'd immediately have to start hanging out with your parents.
I thought that you were Indian.
Yeah.
I'm sure you get that a lot. No,
I am Indian. Yeah. Guyanese Indian.
What the hell does that mean?
People
migrated from India to Guyana.
No, we didn't migrate.
Well,
the
not
British
migrate.
British brought
I didn't
us there on boats to work for them.
I didn't mean migrate. I didn't know that you guys were taken there. I thought you just
no,
moved there.
We
but
were
no.
taken.
Oh, okay. Against your will? Or
ish.
Against not yours personally?
Ish, maybe?
But.
Well, it's a reason that the black people in Guyana and the Indians in Guyana, they fight. Because the Indians were brought over to work for the British, but at the end of it, they were promised land. So they worked towards owning land.
Mm-hmm.
The people who were brought over from Africa were not given the same option.
Right.
So...
So it wasn't, you weren't sold.
We were not sold. But we were brought over by the British.
And
we
you
were
just
kind of
got,
everywhere.
You kind of got screwed out of the land deal, pretty
no.
much. No, you got the land
no,
too?
They worked and they got land. That's why there's so much crap there and they fight all the time.
Because they're jealous.
Well, and I guarantee you...
You kind of got a bad situation there, man.
I guarantee you that the Guyanese Indians are not completely blameless. Guarantee you that start fights, too.
Nobody's completely blameless in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always two sides to every story, or three sides sometimes. So Ryan Reynolds is your coolest person in the world?
At the moment, yeah.
He is actually pretty cool, bro.
I mean, he is.
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place was
Florence
a great
and the Machines. They're a cool band.
You mean just Florence or also the Machine? Because it has to be one person.
Well, Florence.
She's pretty cool. I saw her a couple times.
She's like a pixie in real life.
She's very hip, yeah.
I like her a lot. Her voice is amazing. She's so talented.
Tampa Bay comedian Nina Ramdat, what is the most embarrassed you've ever been in your entire life?
The most embarrassed.
Like, did you fart in class or something like that?
Okay. The most embarrassed that I've ever been was when I was 19, so I'm allowed to have a crazy sex story for when I was 19. there was this guy that I met in a bar, and then like a couple nights later, we met them again. Him and his friends happened to be in the same bar. We went and hung out. Him and I did a thing in a car. I went into a building, and then they all drove off with all of my shit in their car.
Oh, no.
And I never saw any of my stuff again.
So what? But that's not embarrassing, really.
It was just embarrassing telling my dad that.
Oh, well, why did you tell your dad
that? I omitted pieces, but, like, people knew. Like, my friends knew. I had to walk from, First Ave all the way up to 26th.
This is here in St. Pete, this happened.
No, this was in New York.
This is in New York, okay.
Yeah. All the way up to like 26th, and it was cold. Luckily, I had my ID card and my debit card in my jacket pocket and not my actual purse. No cell phone, nothing.
Oh, so we got your money. So you pretty much paid this guy for intercourse, basically.
Basically.
That's kind of cool. Not many ladies get to say that.
I'm ashamed of that story.
Yeah, but most of them get to keep their stuff when they say
it. I am ashamed of that story. I was like, clearly these aren't good people. Like,
yeah. Dude, you're not the first person to get naked with somebody else and then get robbed. At least you didn't get tied up and robbed.
Or be in a parking lot, as we discussed earlier.
You'll have to listen to my mom's favorite podcast to get the detail. I'm not reliving that nightmare right now. Oh,
that was embarrassing.
No, what I did was embarrassing. What you did was unfortunate for men. But what I did was embarrassing. Because I had to look people in the eye the next day. They're like, people saw. Like, my friends that were there saw.
My friends who knew that I left with him knew that I left with him.
Fair enough.
And then I had to go to my friend Devin's house and be like, hey, all my shit's gone. Like, I don't have anything. It was a duffel bag. Like, it wasn't a purse. It was a duffel bag full of my shit. Or my stuff. Sorry.
Yes!
But I know!
Definitely going to have to do some editing on this one. All right, Nina, last question. And then we'll get you out of here. What is the meanest thing you ever did to somebody in school? You seem like a pretty nice person, so I know it's you're digging down deep here, but
I'm
you must have
down
done,
real deep.
There must have been a time where you like, you know, maybe spread a rumor about somebody, girl in school. You're that nice that you never did anything mean?
You punched a girl in the throat. I know you did.
I never punched a girl in the throat.
Kidney? Liver?
No.
Duodenum?
I mean, there was normal girl stuff where you don't get along sometimes, so... Like,
so what did you
eat.
Sabotage?
I didn't sabotage
girl
anything.
Sabotage. But, I mean, you go through psychological warfare here. I mean, this is an enemy now.
I'm just... I don't know. I slapped a boy once.
For no reason?
Yeah.
Or did he deserve it?
In, like, third grade.
What did he do?
He didn't do anything.
Was he kind of like the nerdy
Savage.
Kid? Were you just being mean?
I don't know what came over me. It was weird. It was really weird. I apologized.
For no reason.
For no reason.
You're an
just
animal.
Walked up,
yeah.
Slapped him. Did he cry?
No, I don't think he cried. I think I ended up crying because I felt bad. No,
that's,
I'm not.
That's bipolar right there.
Here's the thing.
I hate you.
Well, no,
I'm
that's
so
not
sorry.
In school. The worst thing that I've probably ever done in my life is, like, slept with someone when I knew they had a boyfriend or a girlfriend. That
See,
almost got weird.
That's the difference between guys and girls. To
Wait,
me, that's like, eh.
Can we go back and talk about that for a second?
We can, but we got to end this one now. So, Nina, give out your social media where people can find you. I don't know if this will ever air at this point, but we'll see.
No, probably not. Nina Ramdat at Twitter.
Anything.
At anything. Same thing for all of them.
Ramdat.
Mm-hmm.
James?
James Bailey, haha, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
There you go. That was a weird interview with Nina Ramdat. I hope you enjoyed. It was a good time making it, from what I can remember. So, yeah, that's what we got to do sometimes in the clutch. You adapt, and you find ways to get things done. So, thank you, Nina, for your... I hope there was nothing in there since that you didn't want on podcast, but it is what it is, so... Sorry, you did say it. Thanks, James, for swinging by as well. You can check out James on My Mom's Favorite Podcast on the HMB Radio Network. Make sure you subscribe. HMB Radio Tampa Bay. Rate, subscribe, give us a review. It only takes a second. Helps us out tremendously. Facebook.com/HMB Radio. Facebook.com/Radio St. Pete. Thank you, Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg. Sly Bar on Facebook, Sly Bar St. Pete, I believe, on Facebook. Truvy Salon and Spa, thank you very much, Chrissy Parker, for being a sponsor. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, caller 727-329-9751. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. If you maybe you want to become a sponsor. And after hearing that, how could you not? I mean, come on, folks. You can leave a message, voice message, or text message for us at 813-693-2124. We'll be back next week with a new homemade broadcast heard right here on Radio St. Pete. Stay tuned if you're listening there for the Jazz Show with Frank Rivera. And after the Indie Circuit, if you're listening on podcasts, go about your day. Enjoy yourself. My name is Will Kuntz. Thank you for tuning in. See you next week.